The Enduring Gap podcast is made possible by an Education Writers Association fellowship. EWA fellowships support ambitious education journalism projects.
In April 2021, a tractor trailer from the San Antonio Food Bank pulled into an empty parking lot at San Antonio College. Volunteers stacked bags of rice and crates of produce under the shade of pop-up tents. While they worked, cars lined up in an adjoining lot, waiting to be directed through the line of tents to collect groceries. San Antonio's Community College District started holding monthly food drives like this one soon after the start of the pandemic. All five campuses have resource centers staffed with social workers and pantries stocked with food. But when the campuses closed, students couldn't access them anymore. So they had to get creative.
With us being closed due to COVID, we had to figure out ways to be able to provide that service in a safe way. And so we partnered with the San Antonio Food Bank to be able to provide what we are calling pop-up markets.
Jillian Denman is the director of the Resource Center at San Antonio College.
If us being out here sweating a little or being a little bit cold or getting in the rain and giving some food helps them, you know, and their families, that's what we want to do.
Denman says she and her staff have always served students in need, but the level of need has skyrocketed during the pandemic.
Students have lost their employment. Students have had their hours lowered, or their family members have had that happen to them. And so them being able to afford, you know, simple things like groceries has become very difficult. And other things as well, such as rent, utilities. These are things that students, you know, they're coming to us with several months behind because they just don't have the funds to be able to do that.
From Texas Public Radio, this is The Enduring Gap, a limited series exploring some of the reasons more Latinos aren't earning college degrees in San Antonio. I'm Camille Phillips. In this episode, we're talking about the effects of the pandemic. San Antonio's pre-existing racial and economic disparities put many Black and Latino students on shaky ground when businesses closed and service jobs disappeared.
My mom, definitely she started getting like unstable work, and she was not able to sometimes like fully like pay everything or buy everything.
Denise Lara was finishing up her senior year of high school when the pandemic hit in March of 2020. Her mom cleans houses for a living, and Lara says she lost a lot of work.
People just did not want her to like go over to like their houses just because they're like up there in age, and definitely they had a little bit more precaution. She would clean and sanitize some of their homes, but for the time being, she did lose a lot of work. And even now, it's still a little bit unstable.
Texas Public Radio surveyed college students enrolled in San Antonio's public institutions of higher education in early 2021. Almost half of the 2,600 students who responded said they worried about running out of food during the pandemic. Compared to white students, Black and Latino students were significantly more likely to say they went hungry or worried about running out of food. When her mom's house cleaning jobs dried up, Lara got a job at an ice cream shop to help pay the bills. But she had to quit when her college classes started in the fall of 2020. She was in her first year at the University of Texas at San Antonio, and her work schedule didn't fit her class schedule.
My mom really wanted me to concentrate on school and my education, so I did get like a small little like freelance gig, you could say, once I started college, just to like not have like completely no income. So I started working as like a English and Spanish language coach. It's worked out perfectly because, like I said, it's not like a set schedule, so it works with school and managing everything else.
Lara is a Bold Promise student, which means the university has promised to cover her tuition and fees for 4 years. She has enough scholarships and grants to cover tuition, books, and fees, but she and her mom pay her living expenses out of pocket. She lives at home to avoid paying for an apartment or a dorm. She and her mom stopped spending money on movie streaming services and eating out, but they still found themselves struggling to put food on the table at the end of the month. They visited food pantries and applied for SNAP benefits to make up the difference.
At a certain point, it was a bit worrisome. Thankfully, we always had at least rice or beans or something, so it hasn't been easy, but I know a lot of people that have struggled a lot more.
At the start of the pandemic, she used her phone as a hotspot to complete her schoolwork, but she kept running out of data, so they had to start paying for home internet. Laura's financial aid packet included thousands of dollars in subsidized federal loans, but she declined them because she didn't want to go into debt.
Sometimes during the pandemic, when we were like running low on food, I was like, man, like I wish I would have taken those extra like $5,000 or those extra like $10,000 or something. And like, I'd rather like pay it back later. But at the same time, like I kind of don't regret taking out those loans because I know right now, like I may not have those extra $10,000, but at least I'm not like $10,000 under either.
TPR's survey also asked students about college finances. It found that Latino students were just as likely to take out college loans as white students, but Hispanic students who avoided taking out loans were more likely to say they were worried they wouldn't be able to pay them back. For more on that, listen to the second episode of The Enduring Gap. Hundreds of San Antonio college students also said they had trouble paying for housing during the pandemic.
My husband was working in the hotel business, and he unfortunately took an extremely large pay cut because the hotel shut down. So we moved back with my mom. We're living with her. She's generously let us live at her house.
About 30% of survey respondents, including Erica McDonald, told TPR they either moved in with other people due to financial problems or sometimes weren't able to pay their mortgage or rent. McDonald is 30 and has two young kids. Her husband worked in hotel management, but he was laid off when his hotel shut down in 2020. He found another job at a rehab facility for the elderly, but McDonald says it came with a big pay cut. I spoke to her in the spring of 2021.
So we're just so grateful that we've had these stimulus packages happen where it's kept us, you know, afloat and stuff, but managing a family of four is extremely difficult, especially with children, because they're so unpredictable.
McDonald says she thought about finding a job after her husband lost his job, but childcare for her three-year-old son would have been too expensive.
It would honestly hurt us more than help us because paying for childcare is absolutely absurd. It is ridiculous how much money you have to pay for childcare, but I understand it and I respect it because these people are watching your children.
Instead, she decided to go back to college a decade after she dropped out.
I love the fact that even though that how challenging this time has been, I have gotten the most help from my professors. That's kind of what I was nervous about, was that I was going to be really far behind and not understand what was going on at school.
Nearly half of the students surveyed by TPR, including Lara and McDonald, said they or someone in their family lost a job during the pandemic. Latino families were more likely to experience job loss than white families. And the lower the family income, the more likely they were to have had someone in the family lose a job. An unsurprising finding, since a lot of lower-paying service sector jobs were cut at the start of the pandemic. In the fall of 2021, I followed up with students to see how they'd been doing since we first spoke. By then, vaccines were widely available and San Antonio's college campuses had reopened. But the effects of the pandemic were far from over. When I reached Araceli Garza on the phone, she was in the car on the way to one of her weekly medical appointments.
I'm in a post-COVID therapy where they're going to do some lung therapy. And I guess it's just to kind of like re-strengthen your lungs and things like that. Excuse me.
Garza has been working to finish her associate's degree at Northwest Vista College for almost a decade. She got sick with COVID in August 2021 at the height of San Antonio's Delta surge.
it was, yeah, just a very unpleasant experience. Just difficulty, a lot of difficulty, excuse me, breathing, and then just shortness of breath and a lot of coughing, and I would lose my voice a lot. So I still get a little bit of that too when I talk, and some pneumonia.
She expected to be over it quickly because she's in pretty good health, but it took her months to even start to recover.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been out of work for, I think it's going to go about 3 months now because of some of the difficulty that I had with the breathing and things like that.
She's been able to keep her job, but she's only receiving part of her pay while she's on medical leave.
You know, it's still helpful to be able to at least have some income coming in, because it is a little bit difficult having to be out and not being able to have a, you know, stable income. Before I got my partial pay approved, there was like a waiting period and you don't get paid and things like that. So it kind of set me back a little bit.
In the meantime, Garza has pared down her budget to the bare minimum so that her kids can stay focused on school. Her youngest son is in high school, and her two daughters live at home while they finish college.
You know, I never really wanted them to work or anything. I wanted them to focus on school. I always had like a big emphasis on that with them, just because, of course, you know, my background and my education wasn't able to be fulfilled as I would have liked it to be.
But stretching her smaller paycheck to cover housing and food has forced Garza to delay saving up money so she can finish her degree. She lost access to income-based grants after she was put on academic probation.
It's still something I want to work towards. It's just I haven't had the opportunity yet to kind of transition back to that until I kind of, you know, get fully recovered from this.
When I spoke to her in the fall of 2021, she was barely hanging on financially. And that was before the medical bills started rolling in.
I haven't received all of my bills yet, so I'm sure that those are going to start trickling in soon, because it's going on 3 months now. So, so it's a little concerning. I'm just trying not to stress too much about that, but yeah, it is a little concerning.
Denise Lara, the 19-year-old who started college during the pandemic and survived on rice and beans when her mom lost work, also had a rough time of it during the fall of 2021. After finishing her first year at UTSA online, the return to campus transformed Lara's sophomore year into a second first year in a lot of ways. She quickly found her favorite place on campus.
So this is our sombrilla.
An outdoor seating area by a fountain. But in other ways, the transition to in-person classes has been hard for her.
It's been challenging at times. It's been draining at times. I feel like my days are longer being on campus. I feel like being on Zoom classes and being online, I felt like my days were a little bit shorter. And now I feel like my days like drag out.
Instead of simply logging on to Zoom, Lara had to figure out how to get to campus. Her family only has one car, so she usually rides the public bus.
At first, I would get super lost, and it was terrible. I was super frustrated and stressed. But actually, now that you kind of get the hang of it, it's not that bad. Like, it's still, like, long, but I'm kind of grateful because it gives me time to, like, slow down. Like, I had such a rush day, and it gives me time to, like, breathe and, like, appreciate life and just, like, read a book or, you know, talk to people. And, you know, it's like a refresher. And then I get home and, you know, back to work.
She takes all five of her classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so she doesn't have to find a way to get to campus on the other days of the week.
So I'm usually here really early just because, like, if my mom drops me off, then I have to, like, stay here. Even if I don't have class at 8 a.m., I still have to, like, you know, stay here until my 11 a.m. class starts. Mostly in the afternoons, I take, like, the VIA bus and stuff, which it takes me about an hour, so it is time-consuming.
She lives 15 minutes away by car.
Which is funny because I'm a public administration major, so that's my jam. That's all about, like, administering, like, public services to people and, like, how to improve them and stuff. So I'm looking of ways to, like, improve the public transportation system and, like, what can we do to, like, you know, not take forever to get from point A to point B. And hopefully one day, you know, I can have, like, the resources and power to, like, do that.
Then, just a few weeks into the semester, one of Lara's favorite high school teachers died of COVID-19.
I had just seen her, and, like, out of nowhere, like, she just passes away, and, like, I didn't even know she was sick. Like, I didn't even know she was sick to begin with. So from her being, like, okay, like, passing away out of nowhere, it was just, like, very shocking for me.
And then, while she was still reeling from the news, a very close family friend died of COVID, too.
It was just hard mentally because, like, emotionally, because, like, everyone around me was sad and I don't know, like, I just, you know, you just can't think, there's no words, like, to describe what you feel in that moment, like, words, you can't put it into words, like, it's just such pain and sadness to, like, not have them and, like, to have them be gone.
She asked her professors if they could give her notes for the day of class she missed for the funeral, and most of them were understanding, but one professor told her she was on her own.
And he was like, oh, well, that's your problem. Like, you're the one that has to, like, you know, figure it out. Like, you should have friends by now, so, like, go ask them for the notes. You know, so it really just depends on your professor. Like, it was hardcore kind of mean. But, you know, that's how it was.
Lara spent several weeks trying to crawl out from the weight of her grief. And in the meantime, her grade suffered.
Like, I honestly thought about, like, dropping out. Like, I was just so sad that I couldn't concentrate in class. That you just can't think about doing homework and writing essays when you have, like, life going on the side. And it was just not my priority, like, whatsoever.
But then Lara got accepted into TRIO, a small program on campus funded by federal grants. It offers tutoring and advice to about 150 students who are low income, have a disability, or are the first in their family to go to college.
They truly care about you and, like, what's going on in your life. So it wasn't, like, the pressure of, like, oh, this is only school related. Like, no, they really make you feel like home, like a family. Like, we care about you and want to help you in any aspect possible. Like, not only your schoolwork, like, anything you need from us, like, we're there for you.
With TRIO's support, Lara was able to get her semester back on track.
It's changed a lot for me. Like, I'm passing a lot of my classes because of them. Like, I feel a lot more motivated because I honestly, like, truly believe that I would be failing some of my classes if it weren't for those tutors that I've gotten help from. And I'm doing, like, straight A's, super great, super on top of things.
UTSA also provides tutoring, but Lara says it's not the same.
Because it's very, like, broad and very general. It's not, like, one-on-one, like, personalized, and this program is. Other than the food pantry, I think the school, you know, hasn't done, like, the best job in supporting, but, I mean, there's so many students, like, how could you possibly?
Lara says she knows UTSA has a lot of resources for students. She was assigned a peer mentor last year, for instance. But sometimes she has a hard time finding out what resources exist or where to go on campus to find them. When we passed a bus stop on campus, Lara gave a prime example. She didn't find out UTSA provides free bus passes until a friend told her weeks after the start of the semester.
Like, this is why lack of knowledge, like, really hurts you sometimes. Because I didn't know, so I was, like, paying all these dollars and trying to find quarters and stuff.
The ongoing effects of the pandemic are substantial, even for students who haven't been as directly impacted by COVID as Araceli Garza and Denis Lara. Francisco Hernandez, a 22-year-old San Antonio College grad, started his first semester at Texas State University in the fall of 2021. Texas State is in San Marcos, about half an hour north of San Antonio.
Things here seem to be kind of reverting back to how they were pre-COVID. It was just a bit hectic because I moved the last the day before school started, which also was the day after my internship ended. So a lot of moving parts.
Over the summer, he interned at San Antonio's water utility company. He's majoring in geology with a minor in computer science.
I was working within their water resources department, just doing clerical work and understanding how to manage an office space. It solidified what I want to do with my major, which is go into the water utilities. I guess you could say water law. As we continue to move forward into the future where climate change is going to be more impactful, I know that this work is going to gain more importance because water is going to be needed more and more.
Hernandez worked two jobs while finishing his associate's degree because he wanted to be able to afford to work fewer hours during his first semester at Texas State. He was worried his classes would be more challenging at the university, but he says that hasn't been the case so far.
I think I took really great professors that kept community college at a university level, so I don't feel any sort of change in terms of the quality in the classes nor in like the difficulty.
The biggest challenge for him has been returning to in-person classes during the pandemic.
COVID has definitely impacted my courses just because we've had to cancel class because a certain amount of students have had to have came up positive. So, or the students around me have come positive and I needed to quarantine myself or at least come back with a negative test before going back to class.
His classes have been canceled twice, and he's had to miss class after being a close contact to a positive case on three separate occasions.
So it's been a bit difficult getting the education that I strived for, but I'm still able to make it up just by kind of learning online and doing Zoom sessions with my professors who kind of go over the course material.
The Alamo Colleges took safety protocols seriously, but he says attitudes are mixed at Texas State.
Mask mandate isn't really enforced here. It's not taken seriously. So you have folks who are just coughing in public and, you know, sometimes not covering their mouth. And I sit sort of near them. So it's kind of like I'm putting my life at risk for education.
Hernandez has found one silver lining, though.
It makes it easier to kind of select classmates that I want to benefit my personal life. So I would love people around me that take things serious and care about others, that they'll just mask up for an hour or an hour and a half.
He says it's made it easier for him to make friends and find classmates to study with. All three of San Antonio's public institutions of higher education had food pantries and other support services before the pandemic. But they had to figure out new and better ways to support students during the pandemic. By chance, San Antonio College's Resource Center had already received a grant to start a phone helpline.
We were supposed to launch that actually in March, and we left for spring break, and the launch was supposed to be after spring break, and we never returned.
Center Director Jillian Denman says they launched the helpline sight unseen so that students would still have a way to ask for help while the campus was closed. Previously, students could walk into the center and get connected with help for everything from mental health to finding clothes suitable for an interview. The helpline is open to students across all five Alamo colleges and usually fields about 150 to 200 calls a week. It's staffed by work-study students and interns who forward student needs to the right professional.
For the most part, we've been able to have almost zero missed calls. We did have one snafu. The Monday after the campus opened back up, after the winter weather, we had 1,400 calls in one day, and we could not handle that volume.
In February 2021, most of Texas lost power for days while temperatures were below freezing. Hundreds of people died. Families who already struggled to put food on the table lost everything in their fridge. Texas A&M San Antonio Vice President Mari Fuentes-Martin says her university gave students gift cards to the grocery store to help them restock.
We figured they could get groceries, they could get gas, they could, you know, get some of their basic needs met just with that, you know, small bit of support.
College leaders say they also search for ways to help students succeed academically while learning online. The community college system embedded tutors and math classes with a high fail rate in the fall of 2020.
We knew some of these students that have never taken a remote or online class were going to be in trouble in our math classes.
Robert Vela is the president of San Antonio College.
So it's no longer optional. It's embedded. It's there so that the students can really take advantage of a peer-to-peer kind of tutoring session without maybe the instructor there or maybe after the class. We've all embedded tutoring in those math classes. And I know for SAC specifically, we went from like 13 high challenge courses down to one. That's unheard of for SAC.
High challenge courses are courses that less than 70% of students pass. But college leaders also say there are a lot of unknowns right now for both them and their students. Lynn Barnes is Senior Vice Provost of Strategic Enrollment at UTSA.
The whole turmoil of the impact of the pandemic is widespread. And so it's not necessarily a student maybe losing a job or cutting back on hours or having issues. It's the whole family, right, and that support structure. So I think it's going to be, we're hoping that gets resolved soon, but it's going to take a little bit of time.
Barnes says UTSA has been able to help students stay enrolled by giving them federal pandemic funding.
Having that flexibility and being able to help so many students kind of on the spot has been really, really helpful during this time. We've delivered a lot of federal aid directly to students, you know, to help their most immediate needs, which I think has helped keep them in school. And it's also just helped them adjust to what's going on in their lives.
But the extra support hasn't been enough to keep some Texas A&M San Antonio students in school. Fuentes Martin says freshman and transfer student enrollment is up, but retention is down.
We've done several things to reach out to students to find out what's happening and how we can offer our support. And so what we're hearing from students is that there's just too much family and financial pressure to come back to campus right now at 100%. And it also seems like there's not enough that's well known about their future, whether it's employment or the educational environment for children, what they want to major in, if they're displaced workers being retrained, and what does that mean? I don't think people have a clear sense of what the future looks like.
In spite of all the challenges brought on by the pandemic, there are positive signs that the college's efforts to better support Latino students are making a difference.
When you look at our graduation and transfer rate, just in total from 2014, 29%, an increase to 48% in 2018. That's true. That's the same, pretty much the same for graduation transfer rate for students of color. 2014, it was 25% up to 45% in 2018. That's higher than the national average. That tells us that we're moving all boats up, right? All students.
Coming up on the final episode of The Enduring Gap, what does it mean to build a college-going culture? And are we doing enough to truly close the college gap in San Antonio?
Right now, only 11% of eighth graders that are in our most limited income neighborhoods are going on to college. And so we need to move the needle with them.
San Antonio's college leaders say the city's low college attendance rate is one of the biggest barriers to eliminating the Latino college gap. But what's keeping more students from enrolling? The Enduring Gap is a production of Texas Public Radio. This episode was edited by Fernando Ortiz Jr. Jacob Rosati did sound design. Dan Katz is our news director. I'm Camille Phillips.